Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Surviving the Shift, a show where spirituality meets practicality, with your host, Michelle Arbeau.
Hi everyone, I hope you can hear me. We've had a little bit of technical difficulties in the beginning. I'm not sure what happened. I was disconnected and the guest is having a hard time calling in as well, so we're trying to rectify the problem here. just give us a moment and bear with us. I'm just trying to reconnect our guest now. Okay, hold on. I think we've got our guest.
Yeah, Michael
Hello.
Is here.
Hello, Michael.
Hey, Michelle.
How are you?
I
don't know what happened. I was disconnected, and I was waiting for you to call in, and you didn't call in, and I thought, what's going on here? And then all of a sudden, my phone was disconnected and came back on, and I have no idea.
A little bit of technical issues, but we can leave that behind.
So. Yes, of course. Absolutely. Okay, Michael. Well, I guess I didn't get a chance to introduce you, so I'll do that now. So for everyone listening, my apologies again for the delay, but Michael is here. Michael is a law of attraction expert and the author of the best-selling book, Law of Attraction, The Science of Attracting More of What You Want and Less of What You Don't. So Michael's going to be answering all of our lingering questions about the law of attraction. So, Michael, take it away. I'd really
great.
Like to know. I think what I'd like to start with, Michael, is actually most of my listeners are what I call the grade one students. You know, they're the ones that are really getting into spirituality and, you know, they're just kind of searching for that,
right.
You know, right path and the right information. So I guess we're going to start from the basics.
Yeah. Well, first I'd like to define spirituality, what it means to me, because the subject of law of attraction could be considered spiritual, and it also could be considered science and more practical. So for me, spirituality is the spirit in which I live my life. So do I live it out of joy and bliss and excitement and goal setting and desire, or do I live it out of victim and shame and blame? That's what spirituality means to me. So with law of attraction, it's all of those things, all the positive things. It's about doing something deliberate. And law of attraction is already existing in all of our lives. We don't even have to tap into it, and we're attracting stuff. See, that's the part that most people don't understand. They think law of attraction is just when you attract something really great that you want it. Well,
yeah.
Law of attraction has a job and a job description. And the challenge here is that I can't prove it to anybody. You know, I spoke in front of 8,000 people in the whole month of October when I was in Malaysia, and I couldn't prove it to one person, and I didn't need to. I can't prove it to anybody, but I can give people tools so they can experience it, and then they'll say, wow, this stuff really exists. So my job today isn't to convince anybody that works, but my job is to give people tools. When they apply them, they can see results of two things: stop attracting negative things, and start attracting more positive things. We can do that today.
Great. Well, you know, I have a lot of questions too. I've been using the law of attraction in my own life, but
oh, great.
There's definitely a couple of stumbling blocks that I'd like to ask you. So,
okay, great.
The first question, obviously, is, you know, how does the law of attraction work? We know that in the metaphysical community, everyone believes that all things are energy. Not so much in the scientific community, of course, but is that not the basis of the law of attraction?
Well, energy is one of those words that can be sliced and diced many, many ways. You know, when I talk about the definition for law of attraction, I say it's whatever you give your attention, energy, and focus. They all mean the same thing. If I give something my attention, I give it my energy. If I give it my energy, I give it my focus. If I give it my focus, I give it my attention. So even though I use three words, they all mean the same thing. Matter of fact, law of attraction could be called a law of vibrations. And what's a vibration? Well, a vibration is a mood or a feeling. So you and I right now have a mood or feeling, and it's either a negative one or a positive one. And that mood or feeling came from a thought or observation that we made, and now we're sending off this vibe. A vibe is the same thing as energy. We use the word vibe, but it really comes from the longer word vibration.
Yes.
So law of attraction, it's this universal energy around us. I can't touch it, taste it, smell it, hear it, or eat it, but I can feel it. Matter of fact, we could stand beside somebody and pick up their negative vibes even without talking to them. And sometimes we'll say, wow, the vibes are good in here, or, ooh, he gives off a negative vibe, or she gives off a negative vibe. So
yes,
that's what a
yes.
vibe is. Now, you know, when I wrote Law of Attraction, my job was to make it really, 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 really easy. And part of my training with NLP, it stands for Neuro-Linguistic Programming, I use many, many techniques in my book so when people read it, they would say, wow, is this ever easy? Does this ever make sense? I see what you're talking about. Matter of fact, a lot of people say, well, you wrote the book just for my style. Well, I wrote it for all four styles. All four reading styles or communication or learning styles. So that's what people
say. And what are those?
Well, I have another book called Law of Connection. They're auditory, digital, kinesthetic, and visual. There's four ways that students like to hear information. And if you notice my book, it has graphics and pictures and cartoons. I tell stories, which is very kinesthetic. There's worksheets for people to read stuff down. Sometimes there's just a five-letter quote on one page with lots of blank space around it. That means it's important. That means people read it two or three times. At the end of each chapter, there's a check-off list. The digital people like that. They like to check in on what they just learned. You know, I'm not really a book reader, but if I pick up a book and it's all text, it's quite a challenge for me to read it. So I really wrote my book to satisfy all the styles.
Yes, absolutely.
So let's go back.
I love the style of the book, and I didn't realize that you had written it in that format to appease all the four styles, but I like it because it's so practical, because I've read, you know, a lot of books on law of attraction, and like you say, they're very long and drawn out and boring, frankly, and this one is really stimulating. It really keeps it flowing. It's very to the point, you know, very concise. It's a great book. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, I'm the how-to guy for law of attraction. You know, I could write a book 10 inches thick all about the stuff that I attracted. Who cares, really? I mean, it's a feel-good book. It's inspirational. You'll probably never read it twice, but I'm a how-to guy. I'm also a trainer, so I train people. Yeah. And my joke is that I'm not a motivational speaker, but I'm a motivated trainer. So everything I do is about learning points and sound bites and things for people to remember. My seminars are like that. This radio interview is going to be like this. My book is like that.
Yes. And
so let's go back to the simplest form of what the job of law of attraction. It has a job description, just like you and I did when we had jobs, right? I worked for the government for 10 years, a job description.
Right.
And the job description for law of attraction is only two words long, match vibrations.
Yes.
That's pretty simple. That doesn't take any brain work. Well, it's a good thing because law of attraction doesn't have a brain. And it doesn't have a conscience, and it doesn't make decisions, and it doesn't decide. It isn't favoritism, and it doesn't have prejudice. It is obedient. And right now, and right now, and right now, all of us are sending off or putting off a vibration. Even if you know to know that you are, and even if you're denying having one, right now, everybody is emitting or sending off or putting off a vibration. And law of attraction, which is the universal energy around us, is eavesdropping on the vibration and matching it by giving us more of the same, period, whether negative or positive. So I'll say that really shorter. Everything you're attracting is matching the vibration you're sending about it. Of course, people would say, well, I didn't send a negative vibe to have a bad boyfriend or girlfriend or a client that bounces checks or a car accident or a rude server or something. Well, no, you don't put that on your bathroom mirror. I attract rude servers. But if the rule is you attracted it because you sent the vibration, what's up with that? And how can positive people attract negative things? That's not very fair.
No,
so law of attraction is eavesdropping right now, and it's picking up on the vibration that we're sending. And the vibration that we're sending is caused from the thoughts and the words that we're using. I could be telling myself a really great story right now, and it causes me to send a positive vibration and the vibration of the story. Or I could be complaining and worrying and talking about what I don't like. Yeah, law of attraction is eavesdropping then too. We should be able to point at everything that shows up in our life, everything, whether it's negative or positive, and say this. That's here because of me. You don't have to like it, but we need to own it. Say, that's here because of me.
So,
and if you like what you attracted, get excited about it and send more of the same vibration. And if you don't like what you attracted, change it. You have the power to do that as well.
So the first step you would say would be to become aware of what you're putting out there, or become aware of your thoughts and your feelings and the vibration that you're sending out.
Well, my book is really broken into two sections. The first section is how to stop attracting negative things, period. A lot of people want to attract boats and jewels and cars and money, but they're not really, in other books rather, they're not really told how to stop attracting negative things. That's the basis. You can't attract positive things if you're harboring a negative vibration. That's the rule. It'll get canceled out. So the first step is I need to get rid of negative vibes. And negative vibes always come from the thoughts and the words and the things that we're observing. And there's three words in our vocabulary that are causing us to attract negative things. So this is the fun part. There's just three words.
Okay,
what
are they?
I think if I gave the three words, people would take it on as homework between now and the rest of their life.
I don't know.
Well, let's see.
Okay.
So remember, I'm going to give you the definition for law of attraction. It states, I attract to my life and business whatever I give my attention, energy, and focus to, whether negative or positive. Here's the first word, is the word don't. Michelle, tell me what I'm giving attention to when I say this. I don't want this to be difficult. What did I give attention to? Just listen to the sentence. I don't want this to be difficult.
I don't know. I'm
difficult,
lost,
right? I gave attention to difficult.
Well, I suppose, yeah.
Yeah,
I guess
it's easy.
That's the
don't slam the door.
Yeah.
What did I give attention to?
The door? Not
slamming
the door.
Whenever I use, here's the three words, don't, not, and no. Whenever I use the words don't, not, and no, I just gave attention to what I didn't give attention to. So if I were to say to you, well, don't be embarrassed. Well, you weren't until I mentioned it.
Okay,
don't think of the
that.
Canadian flag. Well, I know that you know that you did.
Yes,
whenever
okay,
I say
okay.
don't, not, and no, I just gave it attention. And as I give anything attention, the obedient law of attraction is matching it by unfolding and orchestrating to bring me more of the same.
Yes. I get you now. Okay.
Yes,
I
and if you read some people's emails, don't hesitate to contact me. This I like this one. This is not a scam. Oh, I never thought it was until you brought it up. Don't be disappointed. You won't be fooled by the low price.
Yes.
This is for the parents. Don't get your clothes dirty. Don't spill your milk. Don't beat up your brother. Don't do drugs. Don't have sex. Don't drink and drive. Don't forget your homework. Don't be mean. Don't talk back to your mother. Don't touch that.
Yeah.
Every time. Now, just to make sure you and everybody get it, go to the internet and type in no football. What shows up? What documents will show up if you type in no football? Well, football. Well, try it. Go type in no sex and see what shows up if you're not real sure.
Exactly.
See, the internet strips
anyway.
Away the words don't, not, and no, just like our unconscious and conscious mind. And when I said I don't want you to think of the Canadian flag, I know that you did. You got a picture of it. You had a thought about it. So whenever I say what I don't want, I just gave it attention.
Yes.
Oh, I don't want to attract somebody negative. I don't want my clients to cancel. I don't want them to be late at the meeting. I don't want them to be rude to me. I don't want to be bullied.
You know what,
the law of attraction is obedient,
that.
And it's unfolding that. It doesn't know whether you want it or don't want it or whether it's good or bad for you. It's obedient.
I've never seen that in another book, or I've never had this brought up to me before. It's something new.
Yes, well, it's part one of the book is about eliminating the words don't, not, and know. But I haven't told you how to do that. So for people listening at home, I'm going to help you remember this forever. Draw a circle the size of a golf ball, and inside it, write the words don't, not, and know on top of each other inside that little circle. Don't, not, and know. And now draw the international do not use symbol, almost like it was a no smoking symbol. And what I'm doing right now is I'm burning that image into your head. And whenever you catch yourself using the word don't, not, and no, you'll know that you just gave attention to what you didn't want to give attention to. And here's the reset sentence. You can reset this thought by asking this sentence, and you might want to write this down. So, what do I want? So we're going to do a little practice here, and that's the question I want you to ask me if I say this. Oh, I don't want my clients to cancel. So ask me, so what do you want?
I want them to keep their appointment.
No, I want you to ask me the question, so what do you want? Because we're
okay.
Out to coffee, right? And I'm complaining, and you know that.
When I say I don't
want my clients to cancel, you're thinking, ooh, he's going to get lots of canceled clients. So you're my coach at the lunch table. So I said, I don't want my clients to cancel.
What do you want?
Oh, I want my clients to keep their appointment. But I don't want to attract clients that are negative.
But what do you want?
I want to attract clients that are positive. Don't forget. So what do you want? Remember.
What do you want?
Don't use this door. Well, what should it say? Use that door.
Yes.
Don't park here. Could say park over there.
Yes.
Don't hesitate to contact me. Would be contact me soon.
Yes.
And so the reset sentence is, so what do you want? And here's what happens. When I go from what I don't want to what I do want, the words change. So when I say, don't forget, what are the new words? Remember. Right? So if I don't want to forget,
what do
I want? I want to remember. So the words change.
You know what? This is very difficult. You know, I consider myself an educated woman, but this is very difficult. I'm struggling.
It's a brand new behavior.
Yes.
You know, especially parents, they're so used to saying, don't beat up your brother. And what if the kids say, so what do you want? You'd say, play nice. Instead
yes.
of saying, don't forget your homework, it's like, remember your homework. In my book, in the last chapter, there's a chapter called How to Teach Law of Attraction to Children. And it's all about both you, the parents, and the kids, eliminating the words don't, not, and no. You'll get much better results.
Yes. I have a very difficult daughter, and I think that this applying this to my parenting would be fabulous.
Because otherwise they're just saying what they don't want. What you know, they're hearing it all the time. Don't do this, and don't do that, and don't do this. And
yes.
So that's your homework. Every time you catch yourself using the word don't, not, and no, ask yourself, so what do I want?
Yes.
And it's convertible.
Yes.
And business
so I think
in a real brief business conversation, they'll say, oh, I don't want to attract clients that are a problem, and I don't want any phone tag today. I hate playing phone tag. Well, go type in phone tag on the Internet and see what shows up. Phone tag. If you say it, you give it attention. If you give it attention, you send a matching vibration. If you send a matching vibration, law of attraction matches it because that's what it's supposed to do. So sometimes that thing that you said that you don't want shows up in your life, and we point at it and say, oh, that's exactly what I didn't want. I've been saying all week I didn't want that.
Yes.
Pretty smart of law of attraction, isn't it?
Yes. This is interesting, very interesting. It's a whole other approach that I haven't seen before, so it's very refreshing.
Well, most law of attraction teaches you how to attract stuff, but that's part two. Part one is, well, how do I clean up my personal vibe? Maybe somebody's curious and they're thinking, oh, I wonder what my vibe is. I wish I could check. Well, I can tell you from here. If you're curious and you want to know the vibe that you're sending in any area of your life, well, go to that area and take a look and see what you're getting. It's a perfect match.
Yeah.
What's your vibe about money? Go open your wallet. What's
mm-hmm.
your vibe about customers and clients? Well, open your customer and client file folder. And what's the results in your relationship with your daughter? Well, how's that working for you?
Not so well.
Yes. So the change will happen when your vibration changes and you learn something valuable today. And you know what? You will say no to her once in a while and forget about the new tool. But that's why I got you to draw a little circle and really burn that image.
Yes.
Say, well, I need to learn. And after a while, like me, if I even during this interview, when I use the word don't, not, or no, a little voice in my head says, hey, you're not supposed to use that word, so what do you want? I mean, I'm so trained that I never say it outside of this teaching.
Yes.
And if I go somewhere and somebody asks me, if, oh, do you want a muffin or do you want this? And I say, instead of no, I'll say, oh, I prefer one of those. Like,
yes.
I've really even gotten rid of no over any conversation. It's good training.
Well, it's definitely working for you because I've been hearing a lot of buzz about you lately. So I think that whatever you're doing it right. Absolutely. Okay, so I guess you were saying that this is the pre-work for the law of attraction. So we need to get rid of all of the old patterns, the things that are attracting.
Yeah, the things
what
that are causing
want.
You to give attention to what you don't want. It's always thoughts and words and observations. So what our job is to mind our vibration, just to look after it, keep it pure and positive.
Right.
That means
okay.
not complaining about stuff and worrying about stuff and not watching TV shows that get you all charged up and not participating in things that get you angry and disappointed and not being in relationships that don't make you feel good. It's really about becoming more selfish. And selfish really means self-care.
Yes.
It's about caring for yourself in all areas.
That's
I'm
right.
selfish about what I eat and what I wear and what I smell and who I hang around with.
Yes. And I think, you know, that's an area of development for me for sure because I'm always looking after everyone else and then I leave myself last, but that filters over into all areas of my life.
It does. It's not separated. It's not like, oh, here's your vibe about money and here's your vibe about relationships and here's your vibe about work. It only takes one negative area to contaminate your overall vibration.
Right.
So this first part's a process, and it's going to take some while, maybe 3 or 4 days, before you really have trained yourself. But you need reminders. You need to draw that little circle or make the so what do I want. Make it your new password or put it on your computer. Like, this is a learned behavior. It's going to take some training.
Yes. Okay, so what's the next step after we've, changed our patterns and cleaned up our vibration?
Well, then you can start to use law of attraction more deliberately. That means I'd like to attract something. Remember, the law of attraction is already existing anyway, whether you like it or not or believe it or not, even if you don't even understand it. Law of attraction is working right now. So why don't I tap into this energy that's eavesdropping in my vibration and send the vibration of what I want? So there's three steps to the process of deliberately attracting something. And there's a key word, and the word is deliberate. And deliberate means you need to be doing something on purpose. And when you do something on purpose, which is going to be the three steps, then that makes you a deliberate attractor.
Right.
In short, law of attraction is always responding to our vibration. So we need to learn how to send the vibration of what you desire. Oh, you want to have a new client? So what's that vibration? You want to have more money? What's that vibration? You want to have an ideal boyfriend or girlfriend? What's that vibration?
Right.
So there's three steps to the process. And the first step is called identify what you want or identify your desire. A lot of people say that's easy. Oh, I know what my desire is. So, well, most people don't know what they want, but they really know what they don't want.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, won't
Absolutely.
Be an ideal client for you. Well, I don't want someone that doesn't cancel appointments. Oh, really? I don't want someone that doesn't pay on time. Oh, really? I don't want someone that plays too much phone tag. You see how they're talking about what they don't want?
Yes.
So it's okay to know what you don't want, but this clarity, it's called the step one is identify my desire. And the best way to know what you do want is to know what you don't want. So build a list of all the things that you don't want in a relationship or a contract or a job or in money or whatever it is. That's easy to do. A lot of people, oh, I don't want this. Oh, I don't want that. I don't want that. And then you have a list of 10 or 15 or 25 things, and you say, wow, look at the vibe I'm sending out. That list will be your indicator of what the vibe that you're sending out about it. Then for every one of the things on those lists, you're going to ask the question, so what do I want? And put it on. So the exercise is a line down the middle of the page. On the left-hand side is what you don't want, and the right-hand side is what you do want. So for each item on the left-hand side, you would say, so what do I want? Oh, I'd like a client that pays on time. Oh, I don't want somebody too much phone tech. What do you want? Someone that's easy to get a hold of. And then fold the page over and only look at the right-hand side. That's your ideal client right there. And read it
yeah.
and give it attention, energy, and focus. The rule's simple.
It's so practical. Yeah, it's very practical, and I like that because I'm very indecisive, and this will really work for me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now you have a list of your desire. And for most people, it's the first time they ever documented it.
Yes.
And when they went from what they didn't want to what they do want, the words changed. And when the words change, now the vibration changes. And when you read it and tell 10 friends and post it on your Facebook page and do all kinds of fun stuff with your new desire, you just gave it attention, energy, and focus. And then law of attraction, that's part two. Part two, step one is, what do I want? Step two is, I need to send the vibration. If I talk about what I want, am I giving it attention, energy, and focus?
Yes.
If I write about what I want, am I giving attention, energy, and focus?
Yes.
If I daydream, if I pretend, if I play, if I make a collage, if I tell 10 friends, all of those help it give it attention, energy, and focus. But you don't need to do all of them. I like to share my stuff every morning with my workout buddy. We're always talking about what we'd like to attract. That's my way of giving it attention. Some people like to visualize. Some people like to make collages. Some people like to make dream boards. You don't have to do any of those things. Law of attraction doesn't respond to the picture you're sending. It's responding to how you feel about the picture, how you feel about the daydream, or how you feel about the thought, how you feel about the collage. Step one is, what do I want? There, I built the list. Step two is, I need to give it attention, energy, and focus. Well, I do that by talking about it and noticing in other places. Wow, my friend Betty, she's got like 7 of these things. I like that. And you know, do whatever you need to do to cause you to stay in the vibration of what you desire.
Okay. And what's the third step?
The third step is the most important step, and it's also the most understood step, and it's called allowing. Now, it'd be nice if the only thing we had to do was decide what we want and build a collage. Everybody would already have everything they desired, right?
Yeah.
Everybody that built lists so far, they would say, oh, manifest it for me. I built a list and I prayed. I built a list and I made a collage. I built a list and I told 10 friends. I built a list and did a dream board. If it was only a two-step process, we'd have everything that we did the first two steps for. But a lot of people are standing back with their hands on their hips saying, how come I haven't manifested that? I did everything I was supposed to. How come it hasn't shown up yet? And that's because you haven't allowed it. And that's kind of an evasive word. It's like, what does allow it mean? Allowing, or allow it, is the absence of doubt. So let's do a little math equation. On a scale of plus 1 to plus 10, and I told you I was really excited and pumped up about an idea that I had. I was so excited about this desire. What number would you give me? Say plus 10.
I would give you a 10.
Yeah, 10. Look at my vibes. They're so high around this. I did my desire, my clarity through contrast. I've told 10 friends. I put it on my Facebook. I talk about it in the mornings. Boy, I'm doing really, really well. And then there's a little voice in my head that says, well, you can't have that. Who do you think you are anyway? You're not good enough. You're too old. You're too fat. You're a man. You're a woman. You're too young. And that is the voice of what? Doubt.
Doubt. Yes.
So on a scale of minus 1, minus representing negative vibration, on a scale of minus 1 to minus 10, where would you plot really strong doubt?
Minus 10.
Minus 10.
Yes.
So if I was standing on the stage, I'd hold my left hand up and I'd say, on this hand I have a plus 10 for desire, and on the other hand I have a minus 10 for doubt.
Yes.
Now people are starting to get it. The negative vibration of your doubt is diluting the positive vibration of your desire.
Mm-hmm.
So people say, do I need to desire more? The answer is no. You need to doubt less.
Yes.
So you and me and everybody listening, I'm sure we can think of a time when we desired something and we did everything. We talked about it, and even before we knew about law of attraction, and it never manifested at all. And then sometimes we think about something and the same day it shows up. So, I was just thinking about that. Now there's a TV show on it. I was just thinking about you and you just called. This is an important sentence. The speed at which law of attraction will manifest your desire is dependent on how much doubt you have in receiving it.
Yes, and you know, I think a lot of people get caught up in the waiting part because we do think about what we want and we feel excited about it, and then there's a little bit of a pause sometimes between when it manifests And then that's when the doubt creeps in, right? That's kind of where I get stuck, yeah.
Yes, well, we're going to talk about some tools for that. So here's my next question. In goal setting, when do we celebrate?
When we get the goal.
When we get the goal. And what do we do before we get the goal? Well, we notice we're not there yet. We're keeping track that we're not there yet. We're keeping score that we have 10 days and we're not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
So with traditional goal setting, we only celebrate when we receive it. With law of attraction, it's different. With law of attraction, I'm going to suggest that you celebrate and get excited about everything that's in alignment to your desire. So give me something that you'd like to attract in your life or business.
Well, I'd like to finish my book and have it published.
Okay, good. So having your book published right now is daunting, right? The whole idea and the whole process.
Yeah, I'm doing a book proposal, yes.
Yeah, so what you would do, you would celebrate everything that lined up towards that and say, well, I just met an author today. He gave me some free coaching. That was great. That was helpful. Oh, and I found information last week on how to do a book proposal. That was cool. And my friend Betty, who I met for coffee, she knows a friend who knows a friend about publishing books. In other words, can you get excited about that and say, wow, look at me. This stuff's coming to me, and it's matching my vibration about being successful with my book. Most people would keep score. It's like, oh, this is a struggle. I'm only attracting this here and this here. But if you can start noticing everything that you're attracting that's in alignment to the desire and give it attention, that's helpful.
Yes, it is.
Because now you're including the vibration of what you desire. The allowing part is the absence of doubt. And the best way to remove doubt, this is important, the best way to remove doubt is to find proof.
Okay. So how do we find proof?
Well, you become a proof seeker. So your job right now, because you know what you want. You want to have a book deal and get a book published and so on. And you've been giving attention. But now you need to seek proof that you've lined up your energy. So if you get a call or you get information or you find a website or somebody at the bookstore or what, I don't even know. There's so many, we can't even count the possibilities. Then you would say, look at me. I attracted this here. This is in alignment to my project. I love when this happens.
Yes.
This is perfect for me. I needed to contact in this area. Wow, this is really helpful. Thanks, Law of Attraction.
And that's actually
so when you find proof
recently.
That you're lining up your energy, it gets rid of the doubt that this is even working.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like nothing's happening. Oh, yes, it is. You celebrate it four times today. And ideally, you'd keep a log. You could call it an evidence log or a celebration log. And list every night, what did I attract today that's in alignment to my desire? Oh, yeah, I found a website, and Michael Losha gave me some great information today, and this happened and this happened. And then tomorrow you go to another list, and the next day you go to another list. And before you know it, you're on item number 99 of things that you've attracted that are in alignment to your desire. And then you really believe law of attraction, and the more you believe law of attraction, the more doubt you get rid of, period.
Yes. Wow, Michael, you're fabulous. Keep going, please.
So let's just recap the three steps. Step one is, what do I want? Step two is, give my desire attention. And step three is, allow it. So I'm going to encourage, because, you know, some people are listening. They might be in their car or they might be home and they don't have a copy of my book. If you go to my website, which is lawofattractionbook.com, I'll say it again, lawofattractionbook.com, I have lots of articles. And articles, people say, how do you come up with your articles? Well, they're questions people ask. So I know you had lots of questions, and the questions on my articles page. So I have a lot of questions about allowing. It is the least taught subject, so a lot of people ask about allowing. And then I have a fan page as well. If you type on Facebook, if you type in Michael Losha fan page, every day we put something out that videos and audios and interviews and just help people stay connected with it. You know, law of attraction is one of those subjects. If you don't surround yourself with it, it's hard. It's challenging to be in that energy all the time. That's why it's good to have like-minded friends and buddies and, you know, emails every day or a visit to my fan page or whatever it takes to kind of help shift vibration.
Yes, I agree. I mean, surrounding yourself with positive people is a very big and important part. In my own life, I have one negative person that just, it seems that no matter what I do with the law of attraction, I can't seem to get rid of this one person.
Yeah, are they a family or a client?
It's family, yes.
Yes. Right. And is it because they're always negative, always talking about what they don't want?
Yes.
Yeah. Here's, it's real simple. People that are negative are always talking about, they're always using the word don't, not, and no.
Mm-hmm.
So you can avoid that person, which probably isn't the easiest thing to do, given their family members.
No, it isn't.
Yeah. Or you can just not respond to when they're talking about what they don't want. You are allowed to say, so what do you want instead? You're allowed to say that. If they're allowed to spew their negativity, you're allowed to spew your positivity. That's my rule.
I'll try that.
Yeah. Not going to cost you anything. You might piss them off. Whoops. You might tick them off.
Oh, I'm sure it will. I'm sure it will, but yeah.
That's okay. Maybe they'll stop talking to you. Maybe you'll train them how to treat you.
Yes. That's exactly what I'd like to do.
Yeah. Here, this sentence just came to me for you. People will treat you the way you allow them to.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you wouldn't let me treat you that way, but you'd let that person treat you that way.
So
this is vibrational boundaries. This is what you're learning today. You need to have boundaries around your vibrations and when you're willing to lower them and when you're willing not to lower them.
Mm-hmm. I'm writing this down.
Yeah, and you have the right. You have the right to protect your vibration. Matter of fact, not only do you have the right, it's the only job. It's the only thing you should be doing is protecting your vibration.
But you know something, Michael? The more positive I become, the more negative this person becomes, which is very strange to me, but I'm
is
not
it an in-house family member?
Very, very close family member. Not here in the house, but very close.
Okay. Well, you're going to need to set up some boundaries, and boundaries are a challenge for people to set up. But almost always the benefit behind the setting up the boundaries is helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't even have to set them up. You just need to keep asking the person, so what would you like instead? I know you don't like that, but what do you want instead?
I'm going to try that.
And after a while, you'll have trained them how to treat you.
Yes, and I haven't tried that, so that's number one on my list right now.
Yeah, there's an article on my website called How to Stop Attracting Negative People.
Oh, well,
you know, it
takes
two people to have an argument.
Yes.
It takes two people to complain about something and have war, have a fight.
Yes.
Yeah. So your job is to protect your vibration.
Yes, I'm working on that.
And then when you protect it, you'll stay more positive. When you're more positive, then your book stuff will happen much easier. Right now, it's competing with the negative vibration of that relationship.
Yes, I know, and that's the last piece, I think, because I'm really, things are moving along swiftly in terms of attracting things with my book. I just had a friend mention she would give my proposal to her agent, so that's a positive step, and I was celebrating about that today, actually.
Yeah, okay, good.
Yeah.
And
okay,
the job is not to have expectations about it, but just say, wow, look what I attracted. I attract somebody that can give an idea to my publisher. I like that.
Yes.
And I hope they say yes. It's not about that. Right now, just get excited. And then
that's
the vibration you're sending is proposals to agents.
That's so right. Now
law of attraction is checking your vibration. It can find two things, your excitement about getting the proposal or your worriedness about getting it accepted.
Yes.
So stay in the current moment. Say, I love that today. I've gotten in contact with the publisher today. I'd like lots more of those. That's fun.
Yes. Okay, Michael. Well, okay, so those are the three steps. Now, like you said, a lot of people do have trouble with the allowing, and that's kind of where people get stuck on things. What else do you have to tell us about the law of attraction?
Well, we could talk about affirmations. I know there's lots of people that use them religiously.
Yes, please do.
Yes, but I'll tell you this. A positive affirmation can have a negative vibration.
Really?
Really? That's not very helpful, is it?
No, well, do explain.
Yeah, so in my book I have a picture of me, a cartoon of me standing in front of the bathroom mirror when I was obese. I was quite fat through most of my younger life. I'm still big now, but not. I was bigger in high school. And in the early 1990s, I started using affirmations. So on my bathroom mirror, I put this affirmation. Well, first, let's just define an affirmation. They're short, they're sweet, they're positive, and they're about me. Would that be fair to say that?
Yes.
Yeah. So here's my affirmation. They're in the current tense, too. I have a happy, slender body. Let's check that. Is it short and sweet? Is it positive?
Yes.
Is it about me? And is it in the current tense?
Yes.
Yes. Now, I want you to picture me in front of my bathroom mirror. I'm so fat, I can't even see my feet. And I'm saying this to myself. I have a happy, slender body. What thoughts did I just think when I said that?
That you had a happy, slender body.
Oh, really?
But you
think?
Well, I guess you weren't thinking that, no.
No, I thought a little voice said to myself, well, no, you don't. Look
yes.
how big you are. You're getting bigger every year. You're so big you can't even see your feet.
Yes.
You're bigger than your father. You're bigger than you've ever been. And then the negative spiral starts. You know what I mean by that? Well, one negative thought finds another negative thought, and those two negative thoughts spiral, and they collect another one. And before you know it, I'm so depressed, I'm running out to the fridge to put Dream Whip on an onion for something to eat.
Yes.
My friend Greg, all through his house, he has these little posters and plaques, and they say, money comes to me easy. My bank account's overflowing. Money loves me. I can buy what I want. So I asked him, I said, tell me about these little affirmations. And he says this, I can't even look at them anymore. They just depress me.
Yes, exactly.
See, when you tell yourself something that isn't true for you, then it creates a negative vibration. Very few people can read something that isn't true for them and get excited about it. Some people can. But it is the reason why affirmations don't work for most people.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good point, because I never really thought about affirmations that way, because there's so many books on them and so much information about them.
Oh, it's a billion-dollar industry. I'm going to name some affirmations, and for two different people, it could feel different. Oh, here's my little joke. Jim Carrey, he's a tall, skinny Canadian. If I were to say, I have a happy, slender body, and he were to say, I have a happy, slender body, would our results be the same on the vibrational meter scale?
No.
No, mine would go, his would go, ding, 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 ding.
Yes.
How about this one? I love my neighbors. What if you didn't? Could you own that?
No.
All my now you would like this, but you can't say it truthfully. All my family relationships are harmonious.
Yes, I couldn't say that, no.
You couldn't say that. Well, you could say it, but a little voice would say, ooh, that's not true.
Exactly.
What about this person? What about this person? So in my book, I've come up with a way to relanguage these. And remember, the vibration that we're sending is always about words and thoughts. It's always about words and thoughts. So here's how I would relanguage this. I would say, I'm in the process of attracting all that I need to do, know, or have to attract my ideal client or a slender body or a better relationship with my daughter. I'll say it again. I'm in the process of attracting whatever I need to do, know, or have to attract my ideal blank.
I love that.
Now, the word process, of course, the affirmation police, if they're listening, won't like that. They always always state it as if you have it. But we just learned. If you state it as if you have it and you don't, then you're not telling yourself the truth. But then people say, well, doesn't that mean you're always in the process? You know what the answer to that is? Yes. You're always in the process. Even when you get that thing that you say you want something bigger and better and more. So you getting your book deal, that's one process. And after that, then the next part starts. You're building your career around it and book signings and seminars or whatever you want to do after that. In other words, you're always in the process. Even when you get the thing you said you wanted, you want something bigger, better, and more.
Because we're always creating, right? So
that's right.
We're always in the process, yes.
You know, when I first started the seminar business, I was still working for the government. My goal was to have 10 people at my seminar. 10. That was my goal. Imagine if I didn't leave that process. Now, if there's 1,500 people, I'm happiest.
Yes.
Even 500 people is exciting for me.
Yes.
So imagine if I only had the one goal ever. So I was in the process of attracting the next goal and the next goal and the next goal and the bigger audiences or bigger this or bigger that.
Yes. Yep.
I'll say
the
sentence one more time in case somebody's writing it down. I'm in the process of attracting all that I need to do, know, or have to attract my ideal speaking engagement. That blank as you fill it in with your desire.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, I've got it written down, definitely. I've got to make myself a little cheat sheet now that I've got all these little points that you've given.
You have to be reminded. That's the whole key. This is training. Right now we're training. So just like weightlifting training, you can't do it once and expect to get results. So I'm training your brain.
Yes,
matter of fact,
you are.
I'm brainwashing you. I'm washing your brain of all the things that aren't serving you.
Yes.
I'm washing everybody's brain of the words don't, not, and no. And every time you catch yourself using them in that very moment, you'll say, so what do I want?
Yes. Okay. Well, Michael, I'm going to put it out there to see if there's anyone who has a question for you, or maybe they'd like to call in, or maybe send a question through chat. So if you'd like to call in and ask Michael a question about the law of attraction, or if you have a comment, the number is 1-877-296-0345. And if that number doesn't work, because we've been having a little bit of difficulty, the other number is 1-917-889-3818. And you can also send a question via chat. So, Michael, we'll just keep talking, and if we get a question, then we'll answer it.
Good. Now, tell me about your book. I'm curious to know more about what you're doing.
Well, you know,
I'm going to interview you now.
Okay, great. I was going to bring that up because I had read in your book about the power of words. And part of my book I'm doing a little research on is the fact that every word has its own vibration. And I know when we say the word hate or love, you know, it has its own definition, but it also has an energetic vibration. So with the numbers, and as you know, I'm a numerologist, and so I study the numbers. And when I apply the numbers to whatever word I'm using, it always means exactly the same as the definition in a dictionary, if you know what I mean.
Yes,
and so it's fascinating to me. So I'm including this in my book because it's such a powerful thing that people need to know.
Yes. Well, I also want you to understand this. This is some free advice for your book.
Great.
Is the word doesn't have vibration, but it causes you to send one.
Yes.
So
okay.
I'm going to give you an example. This is a great example. The word homework. Do you know people love homework? Oh, my God, we got some homework. I can't wait to do it. And then other people don't like it. So it's not the word that has the vibration. It's how you feel about the word.
Yes.
Like the word fun, for example. You know, when I had a coach, my coach would say, okay, oh, no, the word play. She was very kinesthetic, right? She said, okay, what are we going to play with today? And I would get angry about, not angry, but I would thought, no, I'm not here to play. So we could say that the word play is fun, but it makes some people feel differently. So it's not the word you use. It's how you feel about the word that you use. Of course, if I'm going to say the word hatred, and I mean, some of them are pretty obvious. It's hard to feel good about some of those words.
Yes.
Yeah,
but yeah, absolutely, though. I mean, they do have a vibration based on the numbers. I mean, when I do apply the numbers, it has its own meaning or definition.
Okay.
So, and like you say, people can feel differently about that vibration, but it does have its own, you know, vibrational pattern, I guess.
Now, are you tying the numbers in with your book?
I am, and that's what it's about, yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Yep. So, yeah, I'll definitely send you a copy when I have it done.
Thank you.
We have a question in chat, actually. Let me just see here.
Okay.
Yes, someone has said, I've read another step that after you request something, you need to kind of stop thinking about it to let it happen. What are your thoughts on that?
Yes.
Well,
if you stop thinking, I've heard that too. If you stop thinking about it, then you're not giving it attention, energy, and focus. And law of attraction will only match the vibration that you're sending. I'll tell you a quick little story, and it's a respectful story, but I watched when Oprah had the people from The Secret on TV years ago, which ended up being a disaster, and I heard Rhonda Byrne say this, you only need to think about something once. Well, you know what? That would be pretty dangerous if that were true.
Yes.
We couldn't think about a car accident. We couldn't think about a bad or nasty thought. You know, we don't want it to manifest that fast. But we still need to give it attention, energy, and focus.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything you've ever thought about would have manifested in your life, and nobody wants that. You couldn't watch a horror show or see a car accident on the road because we give it attention, energy, and focus when we do that. And then we forget about it. And it wasn't enough to give law of attraction grip on that thing that you gave attention to. So in my personal opinion, if you thought about something and you never thought about it again, you won't attract it.
Right. I think people are getting confused with that comment that was made about stopping the thinking process. And I think they're talking more about when we're waiting for things to manifest and then doubt comes in. I think that's where they're getting confused with that question.
Yeah, instead of thinking about what you want, say, oh, I want to have this, I want to have this, go to the very third step and say, okay, what can I do to include this? I have to start looking for proof. What am I noticing? And, you know, give attention to the list again.
Uh-huh.
Even 10 minutes a day would be okay. But after a while, you'll start attracting things, and you'll get excited about them. And it could be anything. Say you want to attract an ideal boyfriend, and you see a couple go down the street holding on hands. You can say, oh, I love that. Now, that's my ideal boyfriend right there, where we have public displays of affection. I like that. Law of Attraction doesn't know you're talking about the couple walking down the street. It's picking up on your excitement about the vibration of holding on hands.
Yes.
So start noticing things that you, because everything is attracted. So you are attracting stuff that's in alignment to your desire. And when you point at it and say, that's here because of me, now you're proving this whole process of alignment.
Yes, exactly. Well, Michael, I don't want to change the subject, but I'd like you to talk a little bit. We only have about 8 minutes left, and I just wanted to ask you about your second book.
Okay, good.
I know your first book is about the Law of Attraction, but your second is called The Law of Connection.
It's called The Law of Connection.
Yes.
And it explains why people connect with some people and why they don't. You know how you meet somebody and say, oh, I didn't connect with her at all. Or sometimes you'll say, wow, did I ever like him? He's my new best friend, right?
Uh-huh.
And so I'm going to ask a quick little three-part question, and then I'm going to tell you more about the book.
Okay.
How long does it take to build rapport with somebody? How long could it take?
I don't know. I guess it depends on the person.
Two or three meetings before you really got, you know, instantly. Yeah, they're all the right answers.
How long
does it take to break rapport?
Not very long.
Yeah, a second?
Yes.
How long does it take to repair it?
A long time.
Well, sometimes never.
Yes.
Once we break rapport with somebody. So my book is about staying in rapport with people. And there's 3 points to the book. One is about calibrating the other person. And calibrating means checking in with them, like vibrationally. Say, for example, you come home and your daughter's in a bad mood. You need to calibrate not to talk about your delicious day that you had.
Okay.
In other words, you know, and sometimes people do that automatically. They know, oh, this isn't a good time to bring that up. I better, right? I used to have, when I had house parties, there was this woman that I used to invite, and, you know, we'd be all sitting in my living room having a nice quiet conversation, and she'd come through the door, and she'd be screaming, hello, darlings, and on and on and on, and she would break rapport with people because she didn't calibrate the mood of the room.
Yes, I see.
So calibrate's really, really important. That means checking in with the other person's mood before you have a conversation. The other thing, which is about 80% of the book, is understanding the four styles that people like to receive information. And I think if you understood your daughter's style more, in addition to not using the word don't, not, and no, right? I'll give you the four styles. They're visual, auditory, kinesthetic, that's feelings, and the fourth one is digital, that's thinkers. So for visual people, you'll know they're visual, but they'll use words like look, see, appear, view, big picture. Right? They're all visual words. Auditory words are like sounds like, resonates. That's clicking to me.
Yes.
Yeah, that clicks to me. Kinesthetic people, they use words like feel. They use words like grasp, get a hold on, fit, comfortable, connect. And the thinkers, they use words like, that makes sense, I understand, sequence, logic, order. So let's take a look at those four styles. And someone might be kinesthetic. That means they use feeling words. And they might talk to me, and I'm visual. They might say, hey, Michael, how do you feel about that? I have to process that question now. How do I feel about that? But if she would say, or he would say, how does this look to you? I would answer it instantly.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody has to think about the question that you asked, it usually means you didn't match their style. So your homework with your daughter is to pay attention to what group of words she uses so you can build better rapport with her by matching the words.
Yes, because I know right away that I'm the thinker. So, and I would have a guess as to say that she would be the visual one. But
so
I'll have to check that.
Yeah, do these four styles make sense to you?
Yes.
Yeah, so is that a common expression you use, as makes sense?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so that's your style. And how about the word, what do you think about that? Do you like that question?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Yeah, what are your thoughts? Now, here's one thing your family needs to know about you, is that you need time to process the answer.
Yes, I do.
So you need to teach them that. If your daughter says, hey, Mom, I want to go out tonight or whatever, and you need to say, you know what, I need more time to process that. So if you knew earlier, you know, because I could train your daughter how to work with you too. I would get her to say this, Mom, I'd like you to be thinking about whether I can go, I don't know how old she is, so I'm just pretending. Mom, I'd like you to be thinking about if I can go to the movies tonight.
Yes.
And not waiting for the answer. You need to process it. Matter of fact, digital people usually come back the next day and say this, I've been thinking about the question you asked me yesterday. Do you ever do that?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, so you need to honor that part about yourself. That's your style. Your style needs time to make decisions.
Yes. Well, my daughter's very, I guess, flamboyant and very bold and confident, and so I think she fits into another category. She's not the the mental-based person. She's very, you know, quick with her decisions and quick with everything. So
yeah, visual and auditory people, they're quick with their decisions.
Oh,
they don't
really?
Like lots of detail.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably give her lots of detail.
I do.
Yeah, you like detail. Visual people don't, so that breaks rapport.
Yes.
A question you could ask your daughter, you might want to write this down. Can you see yourself coming to the mall with me later?
Uh-huh.
Because she processes, I'm assuming you said that she's visual, we're just going on that. So she processes stuff in pictures. And one thing that'll break rapport with your daughter is if you change time on her.
Yes.
Visual people, the highest value is time. So when you say 2 minutes before you're going, you know what, we're not going to go, that would make her angry.
Yes, she's very unadaptable. Yes.
Yes, the word's inflexible.
Yes.
Very. I am too. When people change my picture about something, I'm very inflexible. I've learned how to be more balanced around that, but I know lots of times I would get really angry. When I say angry, I don't get angry, but it's like maybe ticked off or disappointed. It's like, you know, my friend Anna, I know she won't be listening to this, but she always says, hey, do you want to go hiking? Do you want to go hiking? Now I don't say yes anymore. I'd say yes, and she'd call me Sunday morning. She says, oh, I went out dancing last night, and it's raining out. And I knew for 3 days I was going hiking. So when she changes my picture, I would say, okay. And now I tell her, if you want to go hiking, call me Sunday morning, and I'll let you know right on the spot. So I don't make plans with her anymore. So that's how I'm still friends with her. I don't let her disappoint me by changing my picture.
Yes.
I'm going to give you a website. It's called lawofconnectionbook.com.
Uh-huh.
Okay. That's my other book, lawofconnectionbook.com.
Okay, well, that's our cue. I want to thank you so much, Michael, for coming on the show. It was fabulous. I knew it would
thank
be.
You.
And I just want to let everyone know that the book, Law of Attraction, The Science of Attracting More of What You Want and Less of What You Don't, is a really great practical book, and I encourage everyone to get a copy. And you can get a copy at Michael's website, lawofattractionbook.com. So thank you, Michael. It was a pleasure.
You're welcome. That was fun for me.
Great.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, guys, I just wanted to introduce the next show before we get cut off here. So the next show, we're having special guest Ryan Ray, who's the host of Wake Up, Explore Your Passion. Ryan will be joining us to share his story of how he went from climbing the corporate ladder to living his passion and inspiring others to do the same. So it should be a great show, very inspiring and passion-filled, I'm certain. So thank you again for listening, and please do tune in next week for another great episode of Surviving the Shift.